Hey, kids, how's the water?
It's full of weeds.
I can't move my legs.
Your arms are free, right?
Yeah.
Wave them around. It's fun.
You kidding me?
This can't be happening.
This is Jamie from the Aquaside Company. Clear your water completely. Destroy weeds, algae, and the muck that's preventing you from enjoying your waterfront property. We know your time in the water is precious. We're the Aquaside Company. Call 800-328-9350 or visit aquaside.com. State permit may be required.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
The game of hockey, and it's the greatest league in the world, the NHL. And to have a game seven, you hear so many players and, people in general in sports talk about, playing and game sevens and the excitement of it. And when you're a kid playing road hockey or shooting on the net, in your backyard or in front of your garage. I mean, you're always talking about game seven, game.
Dean Evason, head coach of the Wild, whose offseason began late Friday night. They, of course, lost to the Vegas Golden Knights game seven of their first round series. And welcome in Mackie and Judd, fill off at least for this part of the show today. So it is Judd and Declan, and it is weekend statement time. And Dex, I'm thinking that we should start off with a variety of statements involving the Wild, because their season is done. The future looks fairly bright here. But there's definitely an obituary, I guess, to be put together on this team's 2021 campaign. And the loss on Friday, definitely disappointing. I will say this. Pacioretty came back, changed a lot of things for the Golden Knights.
Yep.
And, it was very interesting on Sunday night to sit down and watch the Avs and Golden Knights start their series. Because I will say this, folks.
I caught the first period.
Oh, my God.
If
you are, that's where you're hoping to get to. You're hoping to get to where the Avs are right now. And when you watch that speed and that roster, and you watch the likes of MacKinnon and Makar and Landeskog and Rantanen, I don't know how you stop them right now. Like, if they're healthy and they put their mind to beating you, I think the Golden Knights will win a game or two. I think they'll win at least a game.
Yeah.
But that being said, in a series short of guys being hurt, I don't know how you slow that team down. They are incredible.
It is crazy watching these. And by the way, the first round playoff series were great. I believe I saw a note in my email from NHL PR today, because we're important people, that I think it was 17 overtimes in round one, which was tied for the second most in a playoff series. So it was a very entertaining round. And look, to be honest, you can kind of look back at that Wild Knights series and look at, all right, game one was a lot of fun. Game two was pretty good.
Yeah.
Games three and four were, ugh. Mm-hmm. Game five, I have no idea how you won, right? Or no, sorry, game six. Was it game six where they were heavily outshot? I think it was game five.
No, five.
Game five was
five.
It. And game six
game
was probably the most, from the Wild's perspective, the most entertaining and dominant game that they played.
Yep.
And obviously you have a game seven, and I know the game seven was a little bit, obviously disappointing because of what happened. At the same time, to your point of the speed and the skill, it's night and day different. I love my Isles, right? I picked my New York Islanders to win, and they won their second game. They evened up their series. They're in the second round. But still, even though they play a more defensive sound game, and that's what Barry Trotz does, they still have enough speed and skill up top, Barzell, Nelson, et cetera, mm-hmm. where they can make up for that. And the Wild were a pleasant surprise. I saw some pushback from our guy Phil Mackey on that, Wild for an unexpected playoff run. And it wasn't unexpected the Wild were to make the playoffs necessarily. I think most people had them as the last team in the Honda Western Division. Is that right? Honda, was it the Honda
West?
Yeah, forgot
Honda,
it was Discover or Honda. Honda West Division. At the same time, I don't think anyone expected preseason that the Wild would force the second team in the President's Trophy to a Game 7. That is unexpected. That was unexpected. There was a lot of good success moments looking back on this season. And I think that's why weekend statements and basically i.e. Wild statements, which you and I are about to get into, are about to be a lot of fun. And this is going to be a fun little summer.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's start.
All right, my man.
Weekend statements. Declan Goff.
You want me to go?
You go first.
All right. I'll start with my first statement on the Wild here. We'll go back and forth for a little bit. And it's this. this is where the fun begins. And if anyone's a Star Wars fan, you probably know I just quoted Anakin Skywalker there at the same time. I don't want to get out my too nerd self in front of me there.
Yeah, that was really geeky.
But this is where the fun begins for the Minnesota Wild. If you think this last season was fun, which, by the way, I think it was great. Kirill Kaprizov came in, dominated. Kevin Fiala was an exciting player. Your goaltending looked fixed. Basically, for the most part, there wasn't too much of a player who underperformed. In this last year, there's cases to be made. I'm not saying it wasn't completely absolved, but for the most part, this team had took a great step forward in the next chapter. But as we were just alliterating to 5 minutes ago with the skill and where this league is headed, this is where the fun really begins. What moves does Bill Guerin have up his sleeve? How does he make this team better? You have some big-time contract negotiations to start with Kaprizov, Fiala, and Ek. There's an expansion draft coming up here in a few weeks where the Wild are going to lose an important player. There's possible trades to be made. This is really going to be a fun summer for the first time, probably, Judd, since the 2012-13 summer when you signed Parise and Suter, when we knew the Wild would most likely be in on those players. Still a surprise when they got them. Mm-hmm. But I would say this is probably going to be the most fun NHL offseason summer in a league, by the way, that is usually not, like, it's fun for a week. You know, like the NBA does it the best. NBA does it the best.
Yep.
And MLB offseason is such an elongated process that you never really know when it starts and it picks up.
Yep.
Where this is the first time I think I can remember an NHL offseason where I think it's actually going to be pretty sustainable, decent coverage and not just a couple days where, you know, free agency opens and everything quiets back down for 6 weeks and the boys go back in the golf course. This is going to be a really fun NHL summer for the Minnesota Wild.
I like that. And I will take your statement and I will up it by saying the pressure is now on. So 2020-21 was lots of fun. Unexpected success is always fun. And yeah, it certainly didn't shock us that the Wild made the playoffs. I think the fact that they were so strong, finished third, and then, to your point, took one of the best teams in the National Hockey League to seven games in a playoff series. You wouldn't have predicted any of that, I don't think, in training camp. But that being said, the pressure is now on because the expectations in 2022-23 are going to be very, very high, and they should be.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole thing of you know, well, the Wild's a fun team, and look at what they did, and all of that is going to be replaced by, okay, just like the Parise Suter teams eventually became, who is going to now carry you? Like, what are you going to do? I don't, if you go to the playoffs, I'm sorry, I said 21-22. In 2021-22, if you go to the playoffs and you get ousted in the first round, that's a disappointment. If you fall flat in the season, that's a disappointment.
Correct.
There are, the excuses are gone. The team has been largely changed, which is fantastic, but this was all a very pleasant sort of like cleansing from the era of the Ninos and the Stahls, who, by the way, had a very good game in game seven against Toronto. But guys like Stahl and Zucker and that whole crew, Granlund, they're all gone. And this year felt like the official flushing of that whole thing, where it was new players. It was players that certainly from afar to us seemed to have good chemistry. That's all fantastic. But these next moves that Guerin is going to make now in the coming months, as you talked about, Dex, and where this is going to go becomes extremely important, because we're going to very quickly be past the, that's a feel-good story, mm-hmm. and we're going to be to the, hey, can you make a run to the conference finals? And look, it's tough. The Avs are incredibly tough. There's some very good teams. But at some point in time, pretty quickly here, because you got a guy like Kaprizov, you've got to insert yourself in that race, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So my statement is off of yours. The pressure is on as well, which hopefully will pay off and will be fun.
Actually, it's actually really funny you say that, because I think this stuff's you and I got a good little chemistry going here. Maybe like Judd's Hockey Show, Mackie and Judd. Maybe it becomes Judd and Declan. I don't know if there's no Phil Mackie here. You know, we're brought.
Call him in Seattle and tell him he's out.
I will. I will have to do that. I'll fly right out there to. Hey, I'll have to look him in the eye.
Guy sent you a Kraken T-shirt.
Yeah, I wore it on Saturday. Got a lot of compliments on it.
I saw you were wearing it on Saturday. I saw you take a picture.
I had a couple margaritas.
Actually, it looked like you had a friend take a picture of you.
Yeah, I did. I had a friend take a picture of me.
Okay, that's...
I had to do that.
Unbelievable.
For the gram, Judd. For the gram. You got to do it for the gram. Next statement dovetails perfect from yours. And actually, this comes from a friend of the show. And I'm going to use his statement because he did a little write-up this morning on the Minnesota Wild. This is from our friend Greg Wyshynski, formerly the Puck Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
He did keys of the offseason for all the NHL teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs thus far. And he, you know, did a little postmortem on each team. But he puts realistic expectations for 21-22 under each team. And I'm going to borrow his statement right here because this is his expectation. And it goes perfect into what you and I have been saying. Serious cup contender. Serious cup contender. This is not from Judd or myself. This is from Greg Wyshynski.
Love it.
Serious cup contender. GM Bill Guerin took over a team in 2019 that had good pieces in place and has smartly made it better. Betting on Evason worked. The Ryla Kaprizov was a long-awaited game-changer. Kevin Fiala continued his maturation to an offensive force, while Joel Eriksson Ek was one of the best NHL defensive forwards. The Wild are one of the league's most exciting new contenders. It's on Guerin to help them continue to shed the veteran contracts that have anchored them and continue to move the franchise forward. That's not a Judd Zolgad write-up. You could have said that sounds more like Judd Zolgad. No, that is from Greg Wyshynski.
I like it. He's right.
ESPN.com, who has joined our show before. Serious Cup contenders. How many national people have ever put the Wild as serious Cup contenders, really, in the last 10 years? Even with Parise and Suter here, Judd, I think they were flirting with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most people ever had them as serious Cup contenders in the Parise-Suter era. And that's where this team is heading. Now, he does kind of put a little failsafe in there. It's on Guerin to make that work.
Yeah.
This core group, by the way, if they run it back, they won't run it back, but I'm using this example. If you ran it back, you kept Dumba, you re-signed Johansson, you kept all the veterans that you signed to one-year deals, that's not going to work. So you need to make a big-time splash. And I think the pressure is on Bill Guerin. This is the first time, and by the way, he's done a fantastic job.
Yep.
But the pressure is on him, to make this team a serious Cup contender. So that is my statement. I'm borrowing it from Greg. Serious Cup contender.
But he seems to have a plan, though. Like, that's the thing that I like. So far, his moves make sense. So, like, I love what he's done. And yes, they need to get one, if not two, centers. And one of them needs to be good, okay? Like, this whole Hartman and Rask thing has to be done. So, yes,
right.
I think that pressure is fair, but I think if you went to Bill Guerin right now, he would look at that and say, this is exactly right, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not the pressure is on because you've screwed up and you need to fix this. The pressure's on because, like, you're building something here, right? Okay, that leads me in the, I can pick here. I have one or two statements that perfectly goes with that.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with this one because it's going to cause you to shed a tear, possibly.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
The statement is, I'm sorry, Declan. The reason why I am apologizing to you is because I think the more that I look at this and consider it, and believe me, I don't love this idea.
I know.
And I hope it doesn't happen, but you need to prepare yourself, Declan Goff. Like, you need to be prepared for Kevin Fiala to be dealt in a trade for a center who, by the way, better be damn good. If the Wild is going to get one, though, Eichel, which I don't think, but you know, Russo wrote that they're at least going to call on Eichel, which I'm sure the rest of the league is doing as well. Sam Reinhart of Buffalo, which actually we talked about after on Wild Vent Line on Friday, which probably makes more sense, but he's a good player. Like, he'll cost you a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can get around Fiala being a key piece of that deal. I would prefer you don't do this. I don't want him traded, but I'm just telling you, Declan Goff, you need to prepare yourself for the fact that this could at least have the potential of happening.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I was just talking to Buddy last night, too. He was asking me about it and said, asked me the same thing. Would they trade Kevin Fiala? And I said, well, I don't want them to, but it does make an awful lot of sense why he would be the NHL-ready piece to get a big-time center, i.e. Jack Eichel or someone of that nature. I have a tough time parting with essentially who is the second most dynamic player on this team.
I'm totally with you.
I do understand why management and coaching is not as in love with, well, I can understand why most people aren't as in love with him as I am. But at the same time, and this is a problem with Minnesota sports fans, I think, too. This goes with the Twins or the Vikings and the Wolves, whatever. let's just make this trade. Okay, well, it's going to cost this piece. Oh, but I don't want to give up that.
Right.
Well, you have to spend to give.
Yes.
This is not a fleecing. You can't just fleece people.
And centers are very, I mean, they're hard to get.
And I've told you before, I think the Buffalo Sabres are one of the most incompetent franchises in professional sports. And you might be able to pull a fast one on them to some degree. But when it comes to getting Jack Eichel, I don't think you can. It's going to cost a lot. Which goes back into my final statement on the Wild. Because it works with Fial and it works with other players here that other fans are in love with. And this happened 3 years ago and people were perplexed. And my statement is get a little uncomfortable. Get a little uncomfortable because there's probably going to be a player or two that you love that is going to be traded. Could be Kevin Fiala. Could be Matt Dumba. It could be Jordan Greenway. You lose in the expansion draft. You got to get a little uncomfortable with the thought process that one of your favorite players is going to be moved. And now hopefully that's for the greater good of the team. That's why they're not being shed. They're not pulling a Fenton and necessarily just shedding it to change it. Now, to Fenton's credit, his idea was correct. His evaluations were a little bit iffy. Fiala's a home run trade.
Yep.
The Nino trade's a GD disaster. So I don't think Bill Guerin's just going to make trades for the sake of making the trades.
Right.
But make sure you do get a little uncomfortable. You can't get Sam Reinhart. You can't get Jack Eichel. You can't get Ryan Nugent Hopkins. You can't get these guys without giving up significant pieces to help you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So my final statement on the Wild going into this summer, because it's going to be exciting, is, and this goes to my own self too, is get a little uncomfortable because one of your favorite players, maybe multiple of your favorite players that you love, are probably going to be traded.
I think if they can trade Dumba at this point, they definitely will. The problem there is I don't know that they can get back what they want, right? Somebody's gone to the Kraken in the expansion draft. Greenway makes sense. Greenway I could totally see. But, yeah, they're going to make – the only guy that they really desperately want to shed, and I don't know how he comes back, and I realize it's a financial issue. I totally get that, folks. The guy that you want to shed desperately is Zach because I don't – that's – look, when they sat him out for the first three playoff games – the relationship's dead, right? Yeah. So, like, there, you know, Mike had this whole thing, and it made perfect sense in The Athletic in his encapsulation of the season. Russo wrote about the fact that, you know, and it seemed like it was at least written with a little bit of background to it as well, but he wrote, you know, the fact that Bill Guerin could sit down with Parise and could try to get him to embrace a third or fourth line role now and say, you know, we're a good team. And we're a better team if you are playing a small role, but you can't play a large role. But, Dex, I keep coming back to this. If that was truly your desire, if your desire was to keep him, partially because it's going to be punitive to trade him, or certainly would be very punitive to buy him out. If your desire was to keep him around here, I don't think you scratch him for three playoff games. That's basically the nuclear option. He's in his home state, and you embarrassed him.
Yeah.
And these aren't dumb folks. They know exactly what they did. So Zach, we'd really like to get back now and be partners. I don't see a resolution here that involves Zach Parise wearing a Wild jersey at the start of training camp. And I can't. And the other problem, and I actually wrote a column about this for ScoreNorth.com on Saturday or Sunday. The other problem that you're going to run into as well is it's one thing to sit down with Zach in the summer. You're both in shorts. Hey, Zach, great to see you. And everything's calm, right?
Yep.
And you're like, we'd really like you to play this small role. You're still getting paid, but we'd like you to. And let's say he forgives and forgets. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah. You know what? Billy, I'm in. Dean, I'm in. Big difference between sitting in shorts in June or July. And now you're into the season, and guys aren't playing great.
Right.
And, you know, Zach, if Zach's used right, well, he's going to score some goals. Like, he did this. He tied for the team lead in points in the playoffs. So, like, Zach's not done as a player. And so what's Zach going to do? He's going to go in and say, you got to play me more. Like, why aren't you playing me more?
Yep.
And they know that. Mm-hmm. They know that. This is the conversation about Zach Parise and his personality has nothing to do with what he does or does not do on the ice, right? The fact that he overextended the shift and it got him benched, that was a one-time thing, and I get that. But the primary issue with keeping Zach around is going to be the expectation of, well, I'm playing well now. I should play more. Do you want that? They don't want that.
Right, right.
So that's why I don't see any resolution here that involves him remaining with the organization.
You know, it's funny, too. We're recording this on Monday morning, and this just came through the timeline from our friend of the show, Michael Russo, because Zach Parise is doing Zoom calls right as we're recording this right now. And this is from Russo's Twitter account. He says, Parise has had exit meetings with Guerin and Evason, and he'll keep those internal. He said the hardest part of the last couple months was watching his teammates play the first three playoff games was quote-unquote brutal, but he's looking forward to starting the next new year, and Parise says he plans to be here in training camp and doesn't want to speculate in any way or cause speculation in any way as to whether he'd welcome a trade or a buyout. By the way, our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson on the Scoop podcast basically reported that same thing, that his source tells him he's hoping for a buyout. He's hoping to be elsewhere. That's on the Scoop podcast. Find that conversation, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com. Look, Zach's going to say those things. I think that's pretty obvious, but I think the writing on the wall is that his time here is done.
I can interpret for you from what he said and reading between the lines, being a veteran reporter, I can interpret for you what Zach Parise was told. We will work to trade you. You will not be back. Do not go on the Zoom call and say anything that's going to cause problems.
Yeah.
That's what he was told.
Yes.
There's no question. Like that whole thing of, I don't want to talk about. Yeah. No. That's a man who, and look, they need a divorce. They do.
Yep.
For the good of the children, which is the younger players on this team, for Kirill, do it for Kirill.
That's right.
There is no reason for mom and dad to remain in what has become a toxic relationship. It's not going to do little Kirill any good to see that. So, all right. More statements.
Okay.
Let's move on from the world of the Wild.
You got it.
And I'm going to give you one that actually ties the Wild and the Twins together.
Okay.
So
I have a Twins one too.
So yeah. I went to the Twins games on Saturday and Sunday. J-Hap pitched on Saturday, and then Matt Shoemaker pitched on Sunday. And here's my statement. Matt Shoemaker is Devin Dubnyk.
I saw this.
The starter. So Matt Shoemaker, by the way, this is not a total rip, because Devin Dubnyk was a good guy. Like, I think he's a good guy. Matt Shoemaker in post-game Zoom calls seems like a good guy. So this is not saying he's a bleep hole. This has nothing to do with that, okay? But if you go back and listen to Matt Shoemaker's post-game comments after the Twins lost, and he gave up 5 runs, 6 hits in 4 1/3 innings to KC, and his ERA shot up to 5.9, Matt Shoemaker's comments are almost identical to any Devin Dubnyk game that the Wild lost and he played goal for. Well, I did it. I did everything, but it's bad luck. I'm a victim of bad luck. And if this just hadn't, I was going great. This is why the sport, in fact, Shoemaker's exact line was, this is why baseball sucks sometimes, because things happen and it goes, woe is me. All right.
Dubnyk disease.
Yes. No. Hey, Matt, I got news for you. You aren't very good. Like, you're just not that good. And there were a lot of nights that, especially as time continued with Devin with the Wild, he wasn't very good. So, oh my God, can we just stop with this? Well, it's just the breaks. My sport's a tough sport. Okay, no, you didn't play well or you didn't pitch well. Matt Shoemaker and Devin Dubnyk, have we ever seen them together? I think they might be the same guy.
My God. Yeah, I saw your tweet over the weekend about that, and you're right that I don't think Dubnyk's a bad guy, but...
No, he's not a bad guy at all.
I use this term all the time. It's a trait that I think I work on, that I'm always working on, and I think it's a trait I'm really good at. It's self-awareness. Self-awareness. It is a beautiful thing to have if you can achieve it, yeah, and try to apply it to life.
Yes.
Self-aware. And this can work as a young person and an older person. Having self-awareness of situations is extremely important to have.
Yes.
And I have problems when I hear someone like Shoemaker or Dubnyk basically pull a woe is me card, and why is it raining on my parade when, dude, you're controlling your own situation, especially as a pitcher, especially as a goaltender. Okay, this isn't like you're a hitter and you're hitting atom balls at 110 miles an hour. You are two of the positions who are dictating the outcomes the most, maybe of any sport, So I don't want to hear that, oh, there was a line drive over here. There was an error over there. I don't get run support up here. I'm giving up a home run with the wind blowing out over there. There's a puck in my crease and I'm missing it underneath me.
Yes.
BS, dude. Hold yourself accountable. Self-awareness.
5.9 ERA has nothing to do with luck.
Right.
You had a string of bad starts. You know, if it's one game, I might get it. But when it's every start, oh man, if the fifth inning just hadn't happened, well, you know what? You play nine.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Mid-Wakanton Sioux Community.
What's your next name?
All right, my last one, my one on the Twins is this one. I know that it's very easy to fall back into this trap. It's easy to look at Rob Refsnyder's last week and be excited about it. It's easy to look at Miguel Sano and thinking he was back in the middle of May for an 8-game sample size. My statement is this. The Twins are not back, people. The Twins are not back. I saw some tweets going into this week. Oh, the Twins are back. They've taken four in a row. They've won six of their last seven.
Rocco,
against.
They lost Sunday, and Rocco was like, yeah, we've been playing really well of late.
You've beaten the Orioles 16 consecutive
yes.
games. Good for you,
yes.
by the way. That's awesome.
Oh, God, yeah.
You're not back. You are not back. You still have Baltimore for two more for the rest of the week. You got Kansas City for four on the schedule. And then you do host the Yankees, RIP. Just good luck with that plan.
They just got swept by the Tigers.
Yeah.
So maybe you do have a chance.
They're hurting for sure, but the Twins are not back. They're 9.5 games below back from the division. They're 9 games under .500. Your veterans have hit a wall. Donaldson's a mess. Cruz is a mess.
Yep.
Miguel Sano can't hit anything. He hits a baseball about as well as I hit a golf ball right now, so that's not good, by the way.
7 runners stranded on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a pretty putrid game. I saw Patrick's note, too, about all the runners stranded in terms of one of his worst, Miguel Sano's worst games. It might have been this weekend. It really
yeah,
would've.
It was Sunday, I'm sure.
So
bases loaded twice.
The Twins are not back. I don't think they are as bad as they were to start the season. At the same time, no, they are not back. I'm sorry. And this is someone who tries to bring a little bit more optimism, but they are not back.
Well, no, and when you're beating Baltimore, it means nothing.
Yes, correct.
Baltimore stinks. Baltimore is awful. You beat them 16 consecutive times, and I believe they have currently lost 14 in a row. I don't give you credit. You lost 2 of 3 to Kansas City. That's the exact type of series. I'm not even saying a sweep, but that's the exact type of series that you have to win. Like, if you're going to get back in this, which you're not going to, if you can't win 2 of 3 at home against the Royals, you're not back. You're completely right. All right, here's my next statement.
Okay.
And again, it falls off of something you just said. Beware of the big money investments, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that 4-year, $92 million deal that Josh Donaldson signed that so many of us, us included, okay? I'm not absolving us at all. Me included, said was great. He entered Monday slashing .226, .325, .394 with 5 homers and 20 RBIs in 40 games. This comes after last year in the pandemic-shortened season in which Donaldson battled calf problems and only played in 28 games. He hit .222, 6 home runs, and drove in 11 runs. Beware of the big money investment. Because we all thought, oh my goodness, you're getting a great glove at third in 2015 with the Toronto Blue Jays, American League MVP, and this is going to be fantastic. And the Twins finally spent. Hip, hip, hooray, they finally spent. Josh Donaldson was hitting .226, and you're right. I mean, he doesn't look good. He is old enough now where there has to be serious concern about if he's going to rebound. I mean, he might get hot, but is he going to be the player that he was or a semblance of that guy? He had the great year in 2019 with the Braves, and that got him paid by the Twins. But Dex, there's still 2 years left on this contract. And the problem is when you sign a guy to a contract like this, You don't just say, well, that didn't work, so let's go sign the next big name guy. Like, if you're the Twins and lots of teams, you have so many of these swings and misses that you can take. But if you're wrong, there's very few teams that can send a guy like this home, basically, and be like, go sit on the couch and we'll pay you and replace you. So it's just another reminder that when we're all bashing the table or whatever, making our point about how the poll ads are cheap and they should spend, the quick, exciting fix doesn't always work.
Yeah, that's true. And look, I was jacked, like you said, when they signed Josh Donaldson. You're talking about one of the best players in baseball at the time of the contract. We always want, not we, I shouldn't put we, but Minnesota sports fans and people want the teams to be aggressive and make the big-time moves. And look, it can backfire, and it can hold you back. Kirk Cousins to a degree. Josh Donaldson right now. Zach Parise, Ryan Suter. It can happen. You know, you got to be careful what you wish for. And unfortunately, you know, the nature of being a mid-market team for the most part, and the Vikings, I'll exclude them a bit because they do spend and they will make a splash move more than most teams do because that's also the state of the NFL salary cap situation.
Right.
But it's all about draft and development. If you're the local hockey team, the baseball team, and the basketball team, it's all about hitting in the draft and developing there and being savvy in trades. I know we don't like to hear that. I'm always sick of waiting and this, and I hear you on that. I despise that narrative just like a lot of other people do. These big-time contracts are risky, dude. They're really, really risky. And Josh Donaldson, I hope to God turns it around. But, I mean, for someone who has had 8 calf tears in the last 2 years and just is learning how to run again, like, what the hell? He's learning how to run differently? That's just a terrible sign. Yeah, it stinks. This twin season, that's just, I don't really remember. I remember 2011 well because I was a senior in high school. I remember the 2011 Twins. I remember the 2010 Vikings. Both those happened my senior year. But I can't remember a bigger letdown than the 2021 Twins, and it's only June 1st, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's only June 1st. I can't remember a bigger letdown from a local Minnesota sports team. I really can't. In terms of
2010 Vikings were worse than this.
Sure, I get that, and I remember that well. I thought that
was supposed to be a Super Bowl team.
That's true. But in the last 10 years since in my true adult life,
yep.
I would say this one's on top. And we're only 50 games, 55, 60 games in. So time to turn it around, but probably not.
And Dex, so I just wrote down a list of 4 names that were brought here on free agent contracts that were very substantial and that we were all excited about. And look, I'm not saying that these moves should not have been made because they were attempts to improve your club, right? Or your team. Parise, Suter, who I thought that was the greatest thing, but 13 years, which you can't even do now. 13 years is a long damn time. And if you are sitting here like we are now, which is this team with those two never has gotten past the second round. And it's basically done now, but they never got past the second round. That's not a disappointment. It's a massive one.
Sure.
Like that day, July 4th, 2012, if I had said, okay, here's the deal though. The Wild is going to look to part company with Parise, and Suter's role will be reduced in 2021. And when that happens, they will never have been past the second round. You would tell me, that's awful. That's not acceptable. Like, this was supposed to be, Leopold said it himself, Stanley Cup. Yeah. They're supposed to win Stanley Cups and Cousins. And, you know, again, splash quarterback signing. The Vikings had what they felt was their guy. And Cousins is a really nice box scorer, and he's a good player. But if I had told you when Kirk Cousins signed this contract in, what, March of 2018, Declan, that the Vikings would miss the playoffs twice, and the 1 year that they didn't wouldn't get past the second round, you'd say, that's not that good. So, again, just a caution. I'm not saying that big names shouldn't be signed, but we get very excited. I get very excited. And the payoff is rarely what you expect it to be on the day the contract is signed.
I hear you. Yeah, it's Minnesota sports, baby. And we got our team in Toronto of the North, who is the Minnesota sports of Canada.
Leafs, baby.
Oh, man. That's too bad.
The Toronto Maple Leafs. Very Vikings-like.
Very too bad.
3-1 on Montreal. Hated Montreal.
Yeah.
And you blow the entire thing.
I have 2 statements from the holiday weekend.
Nice.
Would you like me to
yes.
hit one of them? Okay, my first statement is having Monday off is greater than having Friday off. So I asked friends this weekend, I asked every one of them, Would you rather have a Friday off or a Monday off? And by the way, I don't want this to come off as I know why Memorial Day exists, so this is not a slam or anything that's taken out of context.
Don't do that. Twitter will crush you.
I have two siblings in the service.
Twitter will come down on you.
I know how that works. That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah, don't rip it.
But in general, having a Monday off is greater than having a Friday off, and I think here's why. Having a Friday, like when you work a Friday, when it's a normal Friday situation, you know there's a, like you're at the end of the road, you already got a little bit of excitement, right? Like it's a run out the clock for football now.
Yeah, Fridays are fun. Yeah.
Fridays are already fine. Yeah. Working on a Friday is all right. Now, having Friday off and beginning your weekend on a Thursday, I get that. I like that more in my youth. I like that in college time, right? I think I only had two Friday classes in my 4 years at St. Cloud State because I wanted to get a head start on the weekend and be able to, i.e., get drunk on Thursdays. But in my adult life, I think having a Monday off is much better than having a Friday off. You start your week now on Tuesday. That's still, now we have 3 days left for Friday. I love, and Sunday can still be a Sunday vibe, but it is so nice having a relaxing, normal Sunday and knowing you don't have work the next day. I think I would rather always have a Monday off over having a Friday off. So that is my number one weekend observation and how I feel about bookend week work weekdays, which days I'd have off. I would always want a Monday off over a Friday off. I don't know how you feel about it.
I agree completely. Yeah. Fridays are actually sort of fun, I think.
Right.
So, yeah, no, if I'm going to have one of the two off, Monday for sure. Because then, yeah, then Sunday is Sunday still, but it's like, oh, it feels like Saturday again a little bit. So, yeah, I don't.
I got split.
How many of your friends
most
came back and said
Friday.
I take Friday off?
Most of my friends said Friday, and most
Why?
Of them my age, most of them my in the late in their late 20s.
I'd be curious what they thought.
They same thing. They wanted a jump start on the weekend. They wanted the weekend to start a little earlier. And to me, I just like Fridays are, like you said, Fridays already a fun day. Like I don't mind Fridays. And by the way, I think we've done rankings on this, and maybe we'll do them again on a Mackie and Judd in a pecking order. Days of the week. I think we've done that before.
We did days of the week,
right? I love a Thursday. Thursdays are great. It's my second favorite day of the week. I like it more than Saturday. I like it more than Sunday. I like Thursdays a lot because I know the next day is Friday. It's a good day to have.
Yeah, Thursday's good.
But I think more of them were interested in starting the weekend earlier, and they don't like the fact that the Sunday still has like because on Thursday, you know, you can still go out. On Friday, you can still go out. Saturday, you can still go out. I think people have a tough time with that on Sunday night. Like, Sunday night does have that vibe of being more of a relaxed.
And there are people that
hangout.
Go, that like to leave for their cabin on Thursday.
Yep.
But I'm not a cabin
person.
I'm not
a cabin person either.
But no. there are, I think if you're a cabin person, I think you like Friday off because you can leave on Thursday night then and beat the traffic, I think.
Yep.
And then spend Friday at the cabin, Saturday, and sort of mosey on back on Sunday.
Perfect.
But I hate the outdoors. So
I'm with you.
I ain't doing cabins.
Yeah, no, I'm your sports son for a reason.
I'll do bars for sure. But yeah, I would never trade a Friday, or I wouldn't take a Friday off. You're right. It's gravy.
Yeah. And by the way, I have Friday off this. So I have Monday and Friday off.
Yeah, but
so
you're going
out of town. I will get a legitimate take that which day was it better to have off. But yes, I am going out of town. That's why. But yes, I understand. All right. What do you got for me?
All right. I've got a statement that I thought about using and then decided not to.
Okay.
But then after something happened last night, I've decided I have to. My statement, do I need help? Now, I know I do, but here's why I asked. So Saturday or Sunday into Monday, I had a dream that the Twins were still, that the Twins had a game at Target Field that was like, it was raining or something.
Okay.
And the Metrodome still existed. And so the Twins took the game and played in the Metrodome. Now, I hate the Metrodome. Like, I didn't like it. And so I would be the last person on earth to, like,
get excited,
have a dream about this.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember it vividly in my dream. I was like, this is so cool. Like, they could still use the Metrodome. And, boy, it's sort of fun to watch a game in here again, which shocked me. I don't know why that happened. So that was dream one. And I was like, I could mention
There's
a second dream. It's like, I could mention that, but I don't know. Self-indulgent, yes. But then last night, so this is Monday into Tuesday, I had a dream in which basically I was struggling with how the Twins should use Miguel Sano, okay? And in my dream, I was like going through that he can't play on a daily basis. Kirilov should play first base. This is my dream. And then he came up in a game, and I don't know what the stadium was, but he came up and he was pinch hitting in like the ninth, and he hit a mammoth home run. And it occurred to me to tell Rocco, he is your designated home run hitter. You don't play him a lot, but when you do, he'll hit home runs.
That's right.
So what the hell is going on in my head where I'm having these dreams about the Metrodome and about Miguel Sano being the DHHR guy?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with me?
I don't know. There's a lot wrong.
Like, these dreams were vivid, too. Dax, I can tell you, like, I can remember them perfectly, which ordinarily with dreams you can't.
No. Wow. Interesting. I had a...
Break this down for me. Yeah, help me out. Somebody tell me why. Why am I having a dream about the Metrodome?
They always say that, and kudos to you, by the way, for remembering so vividly your dream, even ones that happened two nights ago.
I don't know why.
Because typically, I was always told you have to write down your, like, have a dream journal. Like, you have to write down your dreams immediately when they
ordinarily
happen.
Ordinarily, I can't. Yeah. So, yes,
and
that's correct.
And just to be honest, I'm not going to do that.
No, I won't either. But, yes, that's not incorrect.
In your interpretation, man, I don't know.
Like, why am I dreaming about the Metrodome?
So, the Metrodome one happened Sunday into Monday, correct? Sunday night into Monday?
Yes.
Okay. Were you at the Twins game on Sunday?
Yes.
Did a colleague, hashtag friend of the show, did someone mention the Metrodome?
No one basically talked to me the entire game.
Well, I'm shocked about that. weird.
I was not, I didn't talk
weird.
To
anybody. I'm shocked.
I don't think I had one conversation. I had one small one, but we didn't mention the Metrodome.
So did you and Don, did you bring up the Metrodome
no.
in any past? Because usually this can happen in sure. Dreamland
no.
where you have a
no.
weird one-off conversation.
Zero.
It comes back.
Zero.
In
I mean,
cycle.
I was sitting in this dream. I was in the left field corner. That's
right.
Where curved.
Yeah.
That's how vivid this was.
I don't know, man. That's pretty perplexing.
And then the Sano dream's less surprising. But again, why was it so vivid?
Yeah.
Why am I having vivid dreams about Miguel Sano? I thought he had problems. I clearly have problems.
I think you have some problems. Wow. Yeah, man. I don't know. That's wild. I'm glad you brought your dreams to the table, though.
But if somebody can help me,
yeah. And in our YouTube comments,
tweet me or do something.
Or tweet at Jay Zolgad. Why did Judd dream about the Metrodome?
Yes. If somebody knows stuff about dreams, why am I dreaming? I'm more curious about the dome one, because the snow one I think makes a little bit more sense, just because his struggles are always a topic.
Yeah.
But the dome one, I have no idea.
Man, that's wild.
And I don't like I've had dreams about Met Stadium, but I love that place.
Sure.
So those dreams make sense. I get those dreams. Why would I have a dream about... I mean, this is like off the charts weird.
Football.
Hey, we're going to get back to the show in just a second, but a quick shout out to Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated is here to help business owners, and they've been helping business owners in the state of Minnesota for over 100 years during pandemic periods and non-pandemic periods. It really just helps tremendously to have an insurance company. It gives you peace of mind as you navigate the challenges of running a business. When you partner with Federated, you get more than just a policy. You benefit from over a century of experience in making businesses as successful as they can be. Visit federatedinsurance.com to find your local representative. And remember, at Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours.
Okay. Wow.
Do you have one more?
I have one more. Yeah. I have one more statement. And this applies in sports. It applies for GMs making trades, maybe. It depends on how you look at a lot of things. I think this piece of advice works in a lot of different avenues. And it's just this. Make sure you shoot your shot. Make sure you shoot your shot.
Because
if you don't shoot, you can't score. And if you're passing, well, then you're passing and you're never capitalizing on situations. So I just want to make sure that this works for hockey players.
Do you want to elaborate on this?
This works on executives that make big-time
trades.
Seems
like you should elaborate on this.
I'm just making sure that people know, make sure you shoot your shot, because if you don't shoot your shot, you'll never know what happens. So, really important. Shoot your shot. It's a very important
thing.
I'd like
some more information about why you're telling people to shoot their shot.
I'm just telling people,
by the way,
maybe you need a little confidence booster.
By the way,
yeah.
Why don't you tell us about your experience of seeing several hockey players at the bar?
There may have been on Saturday night.
Oh, you could just say it. I saw the entire team at Brits once.
Okay.
Aside from Parisi and Suter, it was Koivu and like 18 guys.
I went to a local establishment on Saturday night.
Yep.
In my neighborhood. and there was a long line to get in, which isn't too rare, but also at the same time, I don't like lines in bars. If we can do this anyway, like, we can go to another bars, we can drink at home. Like, why do we have to wait someplace to do something that is achievable at any other spot? I hate that idea. We had a couple friends in there, and I wanted to meet up with them, so I puffed it out for 20 minutes in line. Getting this one.
Oh, God, I wouldn't have done that.
20 minutes to wait to get in this bar. And I'm thinking, man, this is a little aggressive. I know COVID is now mostly done and restrictions are gone.
COVID's over.
Right, yeah. But I was like, man, this is a little aggressive. And I get in and the place is still just ants on a cracker. It's packed. And I find my friends in the back corner. And as I'm getting seated and sitting next to them and saying hi, I see five very prominent Wild players at the table next to us. And across this table is everyone else as well. There are people wanting to say hi to all these Wild players, and at one point they were really pushing our table, which I had to tell a very prominent Wild player, hey man, I need you to stop leaning on the table because you keep pushing it back. And he was like, well, like, I'm not trying to, like, people keep walking by. I was like, no dude, you're a big time, you're an athletic freak, and you're leaning on the table and you're moving it. I need you to stop moving on it, which he did, but he begrudgingly did. Yeah, I saw a bunch of Wild players out.
I'd like to name names.
Fine, I'll name the names. I saw Matt Dumba, Kirill Kaprizov, Kevin Fiala, Joel Eriksson-Ek, and Ryan Johansson. I believe Ryan. I saw a man in an arm sling.
You saw Fiala?
Saw Fiala.
Did you start crying?
I did not.
Giggling?
No.
Getting autographed?
Shooting your shot, shockingly, had nothing to do with Kevin Fiala.
I thought you were going to tell me, you and Fiala. Oh,
no,
boy.
No.
So who was trying to lean against your table?
Dumba.
Oh, yeah, that's not.
He's a big dude. You know, he's a big guy.
So did Kirill get recognized? Because he would be the one that I think would
cause
a big uproar.
He had a low brim hat. He was trying to look incognito, and which wasn't doing a whole.
Not when you're with a bunch of guys.
Nope. So, yeah, it was an experience. It was probably the most packed bar I have been in the last 16 months.
Nice
or so, and it was a good time. It was a good weekend. Ended it well, but at the same time. Make sure you shoot your shot. I want people to know that.
In person,
mm-hmm.
Whose hair is better, Declan Goff or Kirill Kaprizov?
It's Kirill's. It's Kirill's. Kirill's got it.
By a lot?
By a lot.
So what's special about his hair?
He's got the great flow in the back, and it wraps perfectly around the ears, and it's not mullety. Like, I think that's
Whoa,
the important.
Whoa, it's not?
It's not. I mean, it's got, you could add mullet qualities.
Yes.
But it is not obnoxious 80s. It curls
nice. Rockstar-like?
A little bit, yeah, a little rock star like. I think it's unique. I think it's Kirill like. I think it's its own thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
That's my final weekend statement.
Shoot your shot.
Shoot.
I have no idea why you would say that then, because you're not elaborating on that. Let me give you one more.
Sure you shoot your shot. Okay.
It's an appreciation statement.
Okay.
Our viewers and listeners here at Score North are the best. If that was not clear before this, it was during our Wild Ventline episodes. When we received, I thought, Declan Goff, mm-hmm. not only great participation, but the questions and comments were fantastic. So shout out to you guys. It was outstanding. It was great fun. I think the participation aspect, especially since we can now bring people onto the YouTube show, I think the participation thing is my favorite thing now.
Yep.
Because we can share the show, because it's not like callers. You know, callers are like on the line and you can disconnect them and blah, blah, blah. This is much more personal to me.
Yeah.
But thank you, because it was great fun. And we really appreciate the fact that after games, and it got late sometimes, that so many of you people participated and did a really, really good job.
Yeah, it was pretty damn cool. Look, we love this stuff. It was a grind. You know, I know it's our job to entertain you and hang out with you guys, and we love bringing you on the screen, but that turns into a grind. At the same time, it was so much fun after every single game, bringing fans on that had never been on our shows before. You know, you get regular callers. That's a normal thing. It happens on our Vikings Ventline show. It's happened on our former traditional radio call-in shows back in the day. At the same time, it was super cool seeing all these different young Wild fans come in, wanting to talk hockey with us, fans that have never really watched much of the Wild 2 that would come on and ask us questions. You know, a lot of other people might just poo-poo questions when it drives me nuts. Drives me nuts when other radio stations or other outlets ask for questions and they crap on your question. We do not do that here at Score North. We welcome all. Sometimes can be dumb questions. We don't poo-poo them. We want you to be engaged with us, and that is what we do. We want you to be engaged with us. That's our goal. So thank you. Yeah,
You guys were good too, though.
Yes, they were awesome. They were great.
Shout out to the quality of the questions and comments.
Yes, correct. It was a blast. Thank you very much. And Judd and I will still have plenty of more wild off-season discussion. As we talked about earlier on Weekend Statements, the fun is just beginning with this team.
Yeah, so. And I think on the next Judd's Hockey Show, we need to go through our protected list right now.
Yeah.
For the Seattle expansion draft, which will be coming up in July. And also, at some point in time, we need to accumulate a list of viable trade candidate centers.
Yeah.
And what the trade might be. And yes, that might include the guy that you saw at the bar, number 22. I'm sorry about that, Declan.
That's okay.
All right, we are done. Phil, back tomorrow. Appreciate you if you have made it through the entire podcast or video. We appreciate that. Weekend Statements. If you know what's wrong with me and why I'm having dreams about the Metrodome, I would appreciate you helping me out as well. It has to mean something. We'll talk to you soon.
Bash, shoot, score, shoot your shot.